98 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let us return to the Hebrew Bible, reading 1 Kings 7 to 12. Solomon's palace and other buildings. Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished his entire house. He built the house of the forest of the Lebanon, 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high, built on four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams on the pillars. It was roofed with cedar on the 45 rafters, 15 in each row, which were on the pillars. There were window frames in the three rows, facing each other in the three rows. All the doorways and doorposts had four-sided frames opposite, facing each other in the three rows. He made the hall of pillars 50 cubits long and 30 cubits wide. There was a porch in front with pillars and a canopy in front of them. He made the hall of the throne where he was to pronounce judgment and the hall of justice covered with cedar from the floor to the rafters. His own house where he would reside in the other court back of the hall was of the same construction. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken in marriage. All of these were made of costly stones, cut according to measure, sawed with saws, back and front, from the foundation to the coping, from the outside to the great court. The foundation was of costly stones, huge stones, stones of 8 and 10 cubits. There were costly stones above, cut to measure of cedar wood. The great court had three courses of dressed stone to one layer of cedar beams all around. So had the inner court of the house of the Lord and the vestibule of the house. Products of Hiram the bronze worker. Now King Solomon invited and received Hiram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow of the tribe of Naphtali, whose father, a man of Tyre, had been an artisan in bronze. He was full of skill, intelligence, and knowledge in working bronze. He came to King Solomon and did all his work. He cast two pillars of bronze, 18 cubits was the height of one, and a cord of 12 cubits would encircle it. The second pillar was the same. He also made two capitals of molten bronze to set on the tops of the pillars. The height of the one capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. There were nets of checker work with wreaths of chain work for the capitals on the top of the pillars, 7 for the one capital and 7 for the other capital. He made the columns with two rows around each lattice work to cover the capitals that were above the pomegranates. He did the same with the other capital. Now the capitals that were on the top of the pillars in the vestibule were of lily work, 4 cubits high. The capitals were on the two pillars and above the rounded projections that was beside the lattice work. There were 200 pomegranates in rows all around, and so with the other capital. He set up the pillars at the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillar on the south and called it Jahin, and he set up the pillars on the north and called it Boaz. On the tops of the pillars was lily work, thus the work of the pillars was finished. Then he made the molten sea. It was round 10 cubits from brim to brim and 5 cubits high. A line of 30 cubits would encircle it completely. Under its brim were gourds all around it, and each of 10 cubits surrounding the sea, there were two rows of gourds cast when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 facing north, 3 facing west, 3 facing south, and 3 facing east. The sea was set on them. The hindquarters of each were towards the inside. Its thickness was a hand breadth. Its brim was made like the brim of a cup, like of the flower of a lily. It held 2,000 baths. He also made the 10 stands of bronze. Each stand was 4 cubits long, 4 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high. This was the construction of the stands. They had borders. The borders were within the frames. On the borders there were set in the frames were lions, oxen, and cherubim. On the frames, both above and below the lion and oxen, were wreaths of beveled work. Each stand had 4 bronze wheels and axles of bronze. At the 4 corners were supports for a basin. The supports were cast with wreaths at the side of each. Its opening was within the crown, whose height was 1 cubit. Its opening was round. As a pedestal it's made, it was 1.5 cubits wide. At its opening there were carvings. Its borders were four-sided, not round. The 4 wheels were underneath the borders. The axles of the wheels were in the stands, and the height of a wheel was 1.5 cubits. The wheels were made like a chariot wheel. Their axles, their rims, their spokes, and their hubs were all cast. There were four supports at the four corners of each stand. The supports were one piece with the stands. On the top of the stand, there was a round band half a cubit high. On the top of the stand, its stays and its borders were of one piece with it. On the surface of its stays and on its borders, he carved cherubim, lions, and palm trees, where each had space, with wreaths all around. In this way, he made 10 stands. All of them were cast alike, with the same size and the same form. He made 10 basins of bronze. Each basin held 40 baths. Each basin measured 4 cubits. There was a basin for each of the 10 stands. He set 5 of the stands on the south side of the house and 5 on the north side of the house. He set the sea on the southeast corner of the house. Hiram also made the pots, the shovels, and the basins. So Hiram finished all the work that he did for King Solomon on the house of the Lord. The two pillars, the two bowls of the capitals were on the top of the pillars, the two lattice works to cover the two bowls of the capitals that were on the top of the pillars, the 400 pomegranates for the lattice work, 2 rows of pomegranates for each lattice work to cover the two bowls of the capitals that were on the pillars, the 10 stands, the 10 basins on the stands, the one sea and the 12 oxen beneath the sea. The pots and the shovels and the basins and all the vessels that Hiram made for the King Solomon for the house of the Lord were burnished bronze. In the plain of the Jordan, the king cast them in the clay ground between Succoth and Zarethan. Solomon left all the vessels unweighed because there were so many of them. The weight of the bronze was not determined. So Solomon made all the vessels that were in the house of the Lord, the golden altar, the golden table for the bread of the presence, the lampstands of pure gold, 5 on the south side and 5 on the north, in front of the inner sanctuary, the flowers, the lamps, and the tongs of gold, the cups, snuffers, basins, dishes for incense, and fire pans of pure gold, the sockets for the doors of the innermost part of the house, the most holy place, and for the doors of the main hall of the temple of gold. Thus all the work that King Solomon did on the house of the Lord was finished. Solomon brought in the things that his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the vessels, and stored them in the treasures of the house of the Lord. Dedication of the temple. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral houses of the Israelites before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. All the people of Israel assembled to King Solomon at the festival in the month of Ethanim, which is the 7th month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests carried the ark. So they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tent of meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. The priests and the Levites brought them up. King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who had assembled before him were with him before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be counted or numbered. Then the priests brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, the most holy place underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the ark so that the cherubim made a covering above the ark and its poles. The poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. They are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the 2 tablets of stone that Moses had placed there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord had said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell forever." Solomon's speech. Then the king turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel stood. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hand has fulfilled what he promised and with his mouth to my father David, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city from any of the tribes of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there, nor did I choose anyone to be ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem in order that my name may be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel.' My father David had it in mind to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, you did well to consider building a house for my name. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son, who shall be born to you, shall build your house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled the promise that he has made, for I have risen in the place of my father David. I sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have provided a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord that has made with our ancestors when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Solomon's Prayer of Dedication. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on heaven beneath. Or on earth beneath, keep covenant and steadfast love with your servants who walk before you with all their heart, the covenant that you kept for your servant and your father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth, and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children look to their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed that you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day towards this house, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays towards this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place, O hear in heaven your dwelling place, hear and forgive. If someone sins against a neighbor and is required to take an oath and come and swear before your altar in this house, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the guilty by bringing their conduct on their own heads and vindicating the righteousness by rewarding them according to their righteousness. When your people Israel have sinned against you, are defeated before an enemy, but turn against you, confess your name, pray and plead with you in this house, then here in heaven, forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them again to the land that you gave their ancestors. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, and then they pray towards this place, confess your name and turn from their sin because you punish them. Then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, when you teach them the good way in which they should walk, and grant rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. If there is famine in the land, if there is plague, blight, mildew, locust, or caterpillar, if their enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever suffering, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever plea there is from any individual or from all your people Israel, all knowing the suffering of their hearts so that they stretch out their hands towards this house, then here in heaven, your dwelling place, forgive, act, and render to all whose hearts you know, according to all their ways, for only you know the human heart, so that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land that you gave to our ancestors. Likewise, when foreigners who are not of your people Israel come from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When foreigners come and pray towards this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and do whatever the foreigners ask of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people in Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked in this house that I have built. If your people go out to battle against their enemy by whatever way you shall send them, they shall pray to the Lord towards the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name. Then hear in heaven their prayer and their plea and maintain their cause. If they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you are angry with them and give them to an enemy, so that they are carried away captive to the land of the enemy, far off or near, then if they come to their senses in the land to which they have been taken captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their captors, saying, we have sinned and have done wrong, we have acted wickedly, if they repent with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies, who took them captive, and pray to you towards their land, and you gave to their ancestors the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their plea, maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions that they have committed against you, and grant them compassion in the sight of their captors, so that they might have compassion on them. For they are your people and heritage that you brought out of Egypt from the midst of the iron smelter. Let your eyes be open to the plea of your servant and the plea of your people Israel, listening to them whenever they call you. For you have separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your heritage, just as you promised through Moses, your servant, when you brought your ancestors out of Egypt, O Lord God. Solomon blesses the assembly. Now, when Solomon finished offering all this prayer and this plea to the Lord, he rose from the facing the altar of the Lord, where he had knelt with his hands outstretched towards heaven. He stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice. Blessed be the Lord who has given his rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise that he spoke through his servant Moses. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. He may not leave us or abandon us, but incline our hearts to him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his ordinances that he commanded our ancestors. Let these words of mine with which I plead before the Lord be near to the Lord our God day and night, and may he maintain the cause of his servant and cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, that there is no other. Therefore, devote yourself completely to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as this day. Solomon offers sacrifices. Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. Solomon offered a sacrifice of well-being to the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. The same day the king consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, for there he offered the burnt offerings and the grain offerings and the fat pieces of the sacrifices of well-being. Because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings and the grain offerings and the fat pieces of the sacrifices of well-being. So Solomon had held the festival at that time, and all Israel with him, a great assembly, people from Lebo Hamath to the Wadi of Egypt, before the Lord our God 7 days. On the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents joyful and in good spirits because of all the goodness that the Lord had shown to his servant David and his people Israel. God appears again to Solomon. When Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to build, the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your plea that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house that you have built and put my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. As for you, if you will walk with me as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised your father David, saying, you shall never lack a successor on the throne of Israel. If you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut Israel off from the land that I have given them and the house that I have consecrated for my name. I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will become a proverb and a taunt among all people. This house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone passing by it will be astonished and will hiss, and they will say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this house? Then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord their God, who brought their ancestor out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods, worshiping them and serving them. Therefore, the Lord brought this disaster upon them. At the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, King Hiram of Tyre, having supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress, timber and gold, as much as he desired, King Solomon gave to Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. But when Hiram came from Tyre to see the cities that Solomon had given him, they did not please him. Therefore he said, what kind of cities are these that you have given me, my brother? So they are called the land of Kabul to this day. But Hiram has sent to the king 120 talents of gold. Other Acts of Solomon. This is the account of the forced labor that King Solomon conscripted to build the house of the Lord in his own house, the Millo and the wall of Jerusalem, Hazor, Megiddo, Gezer. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, has gone up and captured Gezer and burned it down, had killed the Canaanites who lived in the city, and had given it as dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. So Solomon rebuilt Gezer, Lower Beth-horon, Baalath, Tadmor, and the wilderness within the land, as well as all of Solomon's storage cities, the cities for his chariots, the cities for his cavalry, and whatever Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in all the lands of his dominion. All the people who were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, who were not of the people of Israel, their descendants who were still left in the land, whom the Israelites were unable to destroy completely. These Solomon conscripted for slave labor, and so they are to this day. But of the Israelites, Solomon made no slaves. They were the soldiers, they were his officials, his commanders, his captains, and the commanders of his chariotry and cavalry. These were the chief officers who were over Solomon's work, 550 who had charge of the people who carried on the work. But Pharaoh's daughter went up from the city of David to her own house that Solomon had built for her. Then he built the Millo. Three times a year, Solomon used to offer up burnt offerings and sacrifice of well-being on the altar that he built for the Lord, offering incense before the Lord, so he completed the house. Solomon's commercial activity. King Solomon built a fleet of ships at Ezion-Geber, which is near Eloth on the shores of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. Hiram sent his servants with the fleet, sailors who were familiar with the sea, together with servants of Solomon. They went to Ophir and imported from there 420 talents of gold that they delivered to King Solomon. Visits of the King of Sheba. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, fame due to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with riddles. She came to Jerusalem with a very good retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. When the queen of Sheba had observed all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his valets, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, it took her breath away. So she said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your accomplishments and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes saw it. Not even half has been told me. Your wisdom and prosperity far surpass the report that I had heard. Happy are your wives, happy are those your servants who continually attend you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king to execute justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, a great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again did spices come in such quantity as that which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Moreover, the fleet of Hiram, which carried gold from Ophir, brought from Ophir a great quantity of almug wood and precious stones. From the almug wood, the king made supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, lyres also, and harps for the singers. No such almug wood has come or been seen to this day. Meanwhile, King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba every desire that she expressed, as well as he gave her out of Solomon's royal bounty. Then she returned to her own land with her servants. The weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold, besides that which came from the traders and from the businesses of the merchants and from all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the land. King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each large shield. He made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. The king also made a great ivory throne and overlaid it with the finest gold. The throne had 6 steps. The top of the throne was rounded in the back, and on each side of the seat were arm rests and two lions beside the arm rests. While 12 lions were standing, one on each end, a step on the sixth step, nothing like it was ever made in any kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all of the vessels of the house of the Lord of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was not considered as anything in the days of Solomon, for the king had a fleet of ships of Tarshish at sea with the fleet of Haran. Once every 3 years, the fleet of ships of Tarshish used to come bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. The whole earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God put into his mind. Every one of them brought a present, silver objects of silver and gold, garments, weaponry, spices, horses, and mules, so much each year by year. Solomon gathered together chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses, which he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stone, and he made cedar as plentiful as the sycamores of the Shephelah. Solomon's imports of horses were from Egypt and Kew, and the king's traders received them from Kew at a price. A chariot could be imported from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. So through the king's traders, they were exported to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Aram. Solomon's heirs. King Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughters of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the Israelites, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for they will surely incline your heart to follow their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. Among his wives were 700 princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon followed Astarte, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not completely follow the Lord as his father David had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. He did the same for all his foreign wives who offered incense and sacrifice to their gods. Then the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this matter, that he should not follow other gods, but did not observe what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your mind, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. Yet for the sake of your father David, I will not do it in your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. I will not, however, tear away the entire kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the rest of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Adversaries of Solomon. Then the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the royal house in Edom. For when David was destroying Edom and Joab, the commander of the army, went up to bury the dead, he killed every male in Edom. For Joab and all the Israelites remained there 6 months until he had eliminated every male in Edom. But Hadad fled to Egypt with some Edomites who were servants of his father. He was a young boy at the time. They set out from Midian and came to Paran, and then they took people with them from Paran and came to Egypt, and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house, assigned him an allowance of food, and gave him land. Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him his sister-in-law for a wife and the sister of Queen Tephines. The sister of Tephines gave birth to him his son Genubath, whom Tophines weaned in Pharaoh's house. Genubath was in Pharaoh's house among the children of Pharaoh. When Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his ancestors and that Joab, the commander of the army, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to my own country." But Pharaoh said to him, "Why do you lack with me that you now seek to go to your own country?" And he said, "No, do let me go. God raised up another adversary against Solomon, Rezon, son of Eliada, who had fled from his master, King Hadadezer of Zobah. He gathered followers around him and became leader of the marauding band after the killing by David, and went to Damascus, settled there, and made him king in Damascus. He was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon, making trouble as Hadid did. He despised Israel and reigned over Aram. Jeroboam's rebellion. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zeredah, a servant of Solomon, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow, rebelled against the king. The following was the reason he rebelled against the king. Solomon built the millo and closed up the gap in the wall of the city of his father David. The man Jeroboam was very able, and when Solomon saw that the young man was industrious, he gave him charge over all the forced labor of the house of Joseph. About that time, when Jeroboam was leaving Jerusalem, the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him on the road. Ahijah had clothed himself with a new garment. The two of them were alone in the open country. When Ahijah laid hold of the new garment he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces, then he said to Jeroboam, "Take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, see, I am about to tear the kingdom from the hand of Solomon and will give you 10 tribes. One tribe will remain his for the sake of my servant David and from the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. This is because he has forsaken me, worshiping Astarte, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Milcom, the god of the Ammonites. And he has not walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight and keeping my statutes and my ordinances, as his father David did. Nevertheless, I will not take the whole kingdom away from him, but will make him ruler all the days of his life, for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose and who did keep my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom away from his son and give it to you, that is the 10 tribes. Yet to his son I will give one tribe, so that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen to put my name. I will take you, and you shall reign over all that your soul desires. You shall be king over Israel. If you will listen to all that I command you, walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you and will build you an enduring house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. For this reason, I will punish the descendant of David, but not forever." Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam promptly fled to Egypt, to King Shishak of Egypt, and remained in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Death of Solomon. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, as well as his wisdom, are not written in the book of the acts of Solomon. The time of Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Solomon slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of his father David, and his son Rehoboam succeeded him. The northern tribes succeed. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam remained in Egypt, and they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assemblies of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father has made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke that he placed on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Go away for 3 days, then come again to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the older men who had attended his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" They answered him, "If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them, when you answer them, then they will be your servant forever." But he disregarded the advice that the older men gave him and consulted with young men who had grown up with him and now attended him. He said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus you should say to this people who spoke to you, 'Your father made your yoke heavy, but you must lighten it for us.' Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.' So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had said, "Come to me again the third day." The king answered the people harshly. He disregarded the advice that the older men had given him and spoke to them according to the advice of the young men. "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, because it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord to fulfill his words that the Lord had spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam, son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king would not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, O David." So Israel went away to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah. When King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor, all Israel stoned him to death. King Rehoboam then hurriedly mounted his chariot to flee Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. First dynasty, Jeroboam reigns over Israel. When all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. There was no one who followed the house of David except the tribe of Judah alone. When Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the houses of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen troops, to fight against the house of Israel to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the son of God, "Say to King Rehoboam of Judah, son of Solomon, and to all the houses of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your kindred, the people of Israel. Let everyone go home, for this thing is from me." So they heeded the word of the Lord and went home again, according to the word of the Lord. Jeroboam's golden calves. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and resided there. He went out from there and built Penuel. Then Jeroboam said to himself, "Now the kingdom may well revert to the house of David. If this people continues to go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord of Jerusalem, the heart of this people will turn against their master, King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam of Judah." So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. He said to the people, "You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." He set one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one at Bethel and before the one as far as Dan. He also made houses on high places and appointed priests from among all the people who are not Levites. Jeroboam appointed a festival on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the festival that was in Judah, and he offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. He went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 50th day of the 8th month, in the month that had been selected on his own. He appointed a festival for the people of Israel, and he went up to the altar to offer incense. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? I wonder at the idea of building a house for God to live in, God the creator of everything. Solomon asserts power and prestige in his building of a place for the ark. Solomon recognizes that the presence of God exceeds its structure. What are we to understand Solomon's goals to be? Is there a recognition of the importance of God's people to gather in God's name? Furthermore, what are we to take from Solomon's building being completed through forced labor? Am I applying modern thinking when reacting to this language? As I struggle with what I am to take from reading ancient history, I wonder about how current history, our recent stories of what it means to be human, serve a similar purpose. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.